Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help people on active duty in the military and recently transitioned veterans figure out what they want to do in their civilian career. Normally, I do this by interviewing different veterans about their civilian career. We talk about what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today, I'm going to be trying out a new format for episode number 175, just to mix things up, because I realized recently that I now have over 170 hours of content. To put that in perspective, 170 hours of content is the equivalent of watching the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy 18 times. 170 hours is also, in my opinion, what it feels like to watch the latest Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, which I thought was such an awful movie. It just felt so long. So 170 hours of content, it's a lot. It's all available absolutely for free at beyondtheuniform.io. And I thought today I would play DJ. We're going to remix a couple of interviews that I had around a topic that comes up a lot when we talk about interviewing, when we talk about networking, and that is storytelling, your personal elevator pitch. Now, most vets that I talk to, it better be a 70-story building for them to get their elevator pitch out, if that, because it's such a long and prolonged and non-specific elevator pitch. Not only does it take time to deliver, but usually the vets that I speak with, it's either vague or it's just not really actionable. You know, in my own interviews, in my own life, I found that you have to be really succinct and it has to be actionable. A quick example, you know, if someone comes to me and most vets say one of two things, they either say I am a jack of all trades, I'll do anything, or they say I'm a Swiss Army knife. And, you know, I, like most people, I'm in a rush and it's like, great, I'll think of it later, and nothing ever comes. You know, it gets brushed under the carpet. However, if someone comes and they say, look, I'm looking in for jobs in Atlanta, I'm trying to find things that are an operational role at a company with 11 to 50 employees, preferably in the health and wellness space, or maybe in the marketing and advertising space, that's super actionable. I can go through my mental Rolodex, I can look on LinkedIn, in the matter of seconds, I can make a connection, because that's what I want to do. That's what most every single veteran I know wants to do. They want to help you. But this is all about being succinct and actionable so that people can help you. It's about doing the work for them so they don't have to think and do the work themselves, because we're all lazy. So I'm just going to share three or four different clips. We'll do a little debrief about them. I've got my Pad Thai dinner and my Sculpin grapefruit Ballast Point beer here, so I will be eating in between clips. But let me know what you think of this new format, and if you like it, I'll try to do more like that. One quick plug before we dive into the first clip. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, there are three ways, in the spirit of being actionable, three ways that you could really help me out. The first is the donate button on the site. Click on that, donate whatever is comfortable. Second is I'm starting to line up sponsors for each and every episode. If you know of a company or if you run a company that wants to be in front of a military audience, or you're trying to hire a military audience looking for sponsors. And third, if neither of those are comfortable for you, if you could just help me get the word out, if you know of ways to get this in front of other people in the military, let me know or share it with a friend. That's all I got to say about that. So the first clip, in the spirit of storytelling, being able to quickly tell your story in an interview, being able to quickly and efficiently tell your story in networking or when you meet someone, I always think of Molly Laufer. And Molly was one of the first people I interviewed. It is episode number 34. I'll put it in the show notes. But Molly Laufer, First of all, after the Navy, she was the, she was the first employee at NatureBox. And NatureBox has over 100 employees now. They've raised over $58 million in funding. So to go directly from active duty, not even going to graduate school, going directly to being number one employee at such an incredible company is really a big feat. And so let's turn to Molly, because I always think, you know, she just ad hoc rattled off her networking elevator pitch, and I loved it. So let's clip. Let's go to Molly. I will take a sip of Ballast and some Pad Thai, and then we'll debrief.
Once I had that focus narrowed down to the type of industry, I was more targeted and more calculated in my asks. So when I would meet someone, I would say, "Hi, I'm Molly. I just got out of the Navy, and these are the industries that I'm interested in. These are the types of roles that I'm interested in." For me at the time, it was marketing and social media. Do you know anyone who's in that space that would be open to having a conversation with me about what it's like to be in a similar position? I'd love to hear what it's like to work at a food or health or fitness startup.
Okay, I think that one's pretty self-evident, but honestly, this is over a year, probably a year and a half ago that I interviewed Molly. And when I was thinking of this episode, she was the first that came to mind. So that's a damn good job if the way that she told that right there stuck with me a year and a half and 130 plus interviews since then. What I liked about it is my sense is she really did some soul searching and heavy lifting to figure out what she wanted. She was able to specify the size of the company, the industry, the functional role. And what was, that little elevator pitch there was, what, maybe 10, 20 seconds? That's something that you could get out literally in an elevator. That's the whole point of an elevator pitch, is get it out, make it actionable. Now, two quick thoughts before we move on to the next clip. One is, if this kind of thought of self-knowledge is something that is either intimidating to you or you've listened to enough of these episodes to know how important this is, go to the site. I haven't officially launched this in the newsletter yet, but I did launch it on the website. If you go to the coaching tab that is now on the website, I have three different coaching programs that I've put together with certified coaches, both career coaches and executive coaches. You can either do an hour, or I recommend doing the whole package. They're going to take you through a comprehensive program to help you identify your career goals, your values, where you get your energy from, what you excel in. This is honestly, even if you're 5 years out of the military, this is something I think will be valuable throughout your career. But I'm very, very proud to make this available to the community, so check that out. Second, this sort of storytelling, and the next clip is going to get into this sort of storytelling, it doesn't come out of nowhere. It is rehearsed. Everything is rehearsed. I remember in business school, I was at business school at Stanford, and one of my profs was like, he had previously taught at Kellogg, and she was like, "You guys at Stanford are so soft. You guys just kind of roll into these interviews sometimes." She's like, "When I was at Kellogg, every student there, everywhere they walked, they were practicing their pitches. So someone would say, 'Hey, give me your story about a time where you overcame adversity.' And the other person would rattle off in 30 to 60 seconds that story. Or, 'Give me your elevator pitch.' And the person would rattle that off. They were practicing it constantly. And I think when I was on active duty and when I got out of the military, that to me, it seemed inauthentic. The fact that it was practiced, the fact that it was rote, to me, I just remember feeling for some reason like, oh, I want to be, I just want to be in the moment. I want to be able to just kind of, I'm good with people. Let me just kind of rattle this off. I highly advise against that. And we'll get into this after the next clip. It's all about rehearsing. And the advantage, one of the many advantages of this is, if you know in advance what you're going to say, you can rattle it off, and then it's the finesse. Then it's reading their reaction. Then it's really, you know, throwing yourself into the story rather than making up the elements along the way or discovering the meaning of the story. So I highly recommend, just like Molly there, I think one of the reasons she was able to rattle that off years after she used that pitch was because she had done it so often. Okay, so let's go on to the next clip And I embarrassingly need to quickly look up this person's background. But Katie Horgan is an absolute rock star. If you are interested in operations, I think that Katie's story is great. She has had a career in operations in startups. And her episode, actually, now I'm realizing it came before Molly. This was episode number 27, where Katie shares her story going from the Marine Corps to multiple startups. But most notably, she joined Plated as their director of operations and logistics, and then as their senior director of operations. And Plated, you've probably seen their advertisements. I interviewed the founder of Plated, who's also a veteran. They have raised hundreds of millions of dollars. But Katie, just like Molly, years after our interview, her elevator pitch and also her explanation around storytelling really stuck with me. So let me play that clip, and then we'll get back to some takeaways.
Because the people you're competing against spent those 8 years when you were in school and in the military in the civilian workforce doing specific things that those civilian hiring managers understand. And so I had trouble reconciling that because I was like, you know, I've led large teams, project management, you know, great under pressure, et cetera, et cetera. And that just wasn't translating for hiring managers. And so I think there's a takeaway both for the veteran side to, you know, really think about how you can connect the dots for those hiring managers and translating your experience. Like me, for example, I learned to talk about my military experience in like a project management type light. Like, hey, I was an operations officer for a logistics battalion. What does that translate to? I was a project manager for a 300-man organization that was supporting, you know, a huge team.
All right, Katie's interview, the whole thing is golden. I think she's very, very articulate about her experience. The two aspects that I really love from her quote, first of all, and we'll get into another quote here at the end, at the very end, that I think really drives this point home. But the takeaway that I have is, first, your counterparts in the civilian workforce, while you were on active duty serving your country, they were practicing this. They have been interviewing, you know, while for me at the Naval Academy, while I was on ships and submarines, they were doing summer internships where they had to interview. So they have, depending on when you get out of the military, half a decade to decades of experience on you. And I think that most of the veterans, and certainly I dismissed that when I was on active duty. It was like, I'm a hero, I'm serving my country, which, you know, is true. But these people are working just as hard, and they're learning how to tell their story. They're learning how to boast about their accomplishments in a way that feels good and accurate. So that's one thing I take away, is that just know that your competition is really good at storytelling, and they're really good about telling about their contribution. The second thing that I loved is that Katie knew what she was going after: project management and operations. So what did she do? She took her background and she translated it into that vernacular. She wasn't expecting the hiring manager to understand what she had done in the military. What is the stat? 1% of our country, if that, serves in the military. They're not going to understand your background. You have to do the heavy lifting for them. You have to spoon feed for them. And that's what I love about what she did. She said, this is the position I'm going after. These are the skills that I think are necessary to do that. And let me tell my background in a way that matches that. And towards the end, I'll give you an example from my own career in the military. I'll give you an example of how that relates to the job to which I was applying, and a couple tactical tips on how to prepare for an interview. It is easier than you think. It requires a significant amount of practice, but it doesn't take that much creativity. So we'll get to that. But first, I wanted to share one more quote related to storytelling. I have two more quotes, but one more related specifically to storytelling. And again, being ill-prepared here, let me just get this background so I don't mess this up. So this is so funny because all these episodes are around the same time, but Beyond the Uniform number 32, Brooke Jones Chinetti talked about cold emails, JP Morgan, being a startup CEO. It's a really good interview. Brooke as well has a ton of value to add about this. And so let me play a clip. This one's a little bit longer. It's almost 2 minutes long, but it's long because I think that she's got a lot of value to add. And coincidentally, I did need a little bit more pod thai. So let me play that clip and I'll be back in a second.
So for me, I prepped the crud out of myself for those interviews and made sure that I had a story to tell so that it almost every, I had, it was like a powerhouse day of interviews. I think I had like six. And so I was exhausted by the end of it, but each interview I went into and each person I spoke with, I made sure like it was like a story. It was like a conversation we were having, instead of, you know, making them ask me questions. I was so, you know, forward leaning in my answers, making sure that I almost had control of the interview when I said, you know, told them about an experience that I had, you know, with project management or my leading style. Like I almost guided them to ask me the next question that I wanted them to ask. So I think that's the biggest part is making sure that, you know, you practice. And I know everybody says that, like, practice your interview, do it in front of the mirror, you know, do it to your husband or your spouse or friends. So that was really big. And then making sure that I, you know, demilitarized my, you know, my career from and made sure that it was civilianized and that folks at JP Morgan understood what I did. I was pretty lucky since I was in HR. That's pretty, you know, that's a global function, regardless of what industry that you're in. But when people think HR, they don't necessarily think of leadership or, you know, building out problems or project management sometimes. So it was really my job to make sure that, you know, not only was I an HR specialist, but, you know, I had led, you know, troops in combat. I had, you know, deployed a unit of 5,000 people. Like it's up to you to tell them your story. You can't just expect them to look at your resume and, you know, tell me a time about this. Like if you drive the interview, not only will it be more conversational, but I think it really makes it into your favor.
All right. Her interview is in the show notes. Highly recommend that you listen to all of Brooke's interview, but I think that you get why her talk track there really resonated. She hits on the importance of practice. She hits on being able to share your story in a way that connects with a civilian hiring manager. So let me play one last clip, and then we'll talk about some next steps here. And just quick caveat on this next clip, there's some background music, because I'm going to take from Britt Young. He was the very high up at Palantir. His interview is exceptional, and it's the opening clip to his interview. And so apologies for the extra, you're going to get extra dose of Beyond the Uniform's theme music here on this one.
Just being totally honest, and this might offend some folks, but you really are behind, you know, and it's a better assumption that you're behind than that you're ahead. Look, it's not like everyone else who wasn't spending any time in the military is out there playing Lincoln Logs, right? Like they've got a job and they're like developing skills and they're learning, right? So I went into my transition with the attitude that I was 9 years behind every pedigreed person out there. And I feel that attitude helped drive my hunger to play a very intense game of catch up.
All right, that was Britt Young. His episode will be listed in the show notes. I think of this quote all the time, and I hope that you listening are not offended by that premise, which I, for what it's worth, wholeheartedly agree with, that you should adopt the mindset that you are behind all of your civilian counterparts. Or let me put that differently. You are behind the civilian counterparts that are worthy adversaries, that are the type of people that you want to compete with. Of course, you're far ahead of the, you know, the person who's drinking beer all day and is getting unemployment checks. And you are so far ahead of everyone, pedigreed and non, in terms of leadership, presence under stress, integrity, reliability, discipline, motivation. There are so many things that you are good at. However, I really recommend you adopt Britt's mindset here. Like he said, there's no downside to that. If you adopt the mindset that you have to play catch up, my supposition is that's going to cause you to work harder, to be hungrier, to work the nights and weekends, that's the ballast point there, weekends to catch up. And I think that that's an advantageous mentality rather than assuming that you're ahead and then being, you know, shocked awake when you realize that there are things that you are far behind on, like interviewing and storytelling. So here's what I'm going to do. We're at 20 minutes. I'm trying to keep a lot of these episodes a little bit shorter so it's easier for you to just digest. On my side, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do another episode that'll come out in just 2 days. In it, we're going to go into a lot more tactical stuff. I'll share some advice on interviewing. I'll give you about 3 or 4 different examples from my own life, and I want to make that more actionable. But I'm actually headed out to a silent meditation retreat for a week. If you haven't listened to my episode on silent meditation, search for that in the podcast section. It's worth listening to. But I'm going to be offline for a week, and I'd love to have 2 episodes go out while I'm gone. So bear with me on this audible. I'm going to wrap this one up. And for those of you in the future listening to this, I will see you in 2 days. And I hope this is helpful. Let me know if it works for you. Thanks.